Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
At Leia Healthcare, we always want to give our members more. So now you get unrestricted access to a world of benefits that will help you stay healthy. From convenient video calls with a GP to get prescriptions online, to easy access to experts when you finally want to do something about your ropey knee or dodgy back. And if you do need to see someone urgently, our clinics are available for minor injuries, all without you needing to put your hand in your pocket. Let's stay on top of your health, in every way. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Insurance provided by Ellipse Insurance Limited, trading as Leia Healthcare. Leia Healthcare Limited, trading as Leia Healthcare and Leia Life, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Unrestricted benefits are available until the end of December. Fair usage policy applies.
Yeah, welcome to Keeping the Ball on the Ground, a very special one. We've got Andy Halliday, we've got Bobby Madden, and we've got Kevin Kyle. We're in the bar, is it bad? You got your bulletproof vest on?
To be fair, I thought we were in your wardrobe. I'm not usually seen doing these parts. I've got a curfew at 4 o'clock, so I need to be sharp.
Kev's your steward to your motor today, man. Oh no, they hate you as well. Season's not even started, and you've made a good decision already, young Robert.
What's that?
Not to wear that G-star jacket you're last.
I've been through my wardrobe, what can I wear? So I landed on this.
Kev, how you doing, mate? Alright?
Mate, I'm great, I'm good. I was driving in and I saw a couple of beer gardens open, so I fucking just got to get a wee pint, but
straight.
Got to drive home.
After this we'll go, mate.
I'll have one, two, fuck it, maybe.
Have you been seeing this man in lockdown? Cycling?
No, I've not.
Every day, tell us about it.
I think everybody's trying to find something to keep them ticking now, so I chose cycling, so it's keeping me busy.
100 miles one day?
One day, 100 miles, around 6 stadiums, Premier League stadiums one day. So it's just to keep us busy, it's to give me a target, because when they football, I think we'll enjoy having a fixture, something to look forward to. So you've not got that, so I've just set myself wee targets just to kind of keep myself busy.
See, if you really want to push yourself, why don't you give the big man a backy?
seen you sitting in the bike, you take your kids with you, so when folk cut you off, you give them a yellow or a warning.
Oh, I've never gone anywhere without the kids.
Fucking hell.
Nah, I can't.
See them in.
Get them out. I've got one. In fact, I was going to sign one for Andy. Remember,
we're going to come to that story. We're going to come to that story.
Can't wait for this, but.
What about you? Any more news? This is an Andy Halliday weekly update. Any news for us?
Nah, not really, to be honest. There's been bits and bobs, but I'm just sort of waiting till stuff's concrete. I think stuff will start moving at the end of the month, but. Like I said, I just want you to get a football team so I can sign up.
Would you ever just think about chucking it, right, and just being like the Rangers version of Paul Tim?
I don't know, man. Like,
pair of blue gazelles.
time might come, but that's the case anyway.
Right, Bobby, players are back into training now.
Yep.
Refs?
Still training ourselves, I know. Nothing organised as a group, but what the association are doing, Andrew, for doing, they're providing us with clips to kind of let us kind of review the changes of the laws and just to kind of bring us up to speed. They're providing training plans just for us to stick to. We wear polar, the same as the players, everyone's recorded in terms of what
they check up on you?
So I think we wear polar monitors, that needs to be submitted every day, so they're expecting a certain level of training, so provide your pre-season plan, which we try to stick to, so they know what we're up to, they know who's fit and who's doing what, so there's no hiding place for us. We can't just down tools and come back with no turned a wheel for a period of time, so... Mm. So it's been good. I've enjoyed the break away from everything, you know. I think we've had this because I'm working full time, then you've got all the training, family trips away, so I've really enjoyed the break, so, but I'm also looking forward to coming back now.
Yeah, as a man that's enjoyed a break.
I've had a break since 2013.
is it true that your first referee, the match you're reffing, is Malky Mackay wrestling Steve Clark.
Get on. So make it happen.
So when are you getting the deposit then?
This is going along here.
Right, come on, Kev, you ready for a story?
What one?
Do you know about this?
No, but there were
you got a needle with them, isn't
there? I felt the tension just as I walked in, so I'm curious to see what's going on.
Who wants to tell it? Go on, Andy.
You want
it.
Your version first?
We'll take it to your side.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. It was a windy day, your fringe got in the way of your eyes. Either that or my hair blew off in your eyes. I don't know what it was, but no, obviously, I don't blame you too much.
No.
You were conned into it a wee bit, but my first red card for Rangers was against Hibs. And it was, to be fair, it was a big game. I think Hibs were a couple of points behind us at the time. I think we were 3-1 up. And I think Fivey's done me a wee bit late. And I went back and I did a wee nibble back at him. And he's did the old Kyle Lafferty, the old head back for the red card.
Did you put your head into it?
No, it was like a shoulder, wasn't it? I went like shoulder to shoulder with him and he's flicked the head back and Bobby showed me the red card. But I always remember it was like a big game and I went back into the changing room at the time and I was like, fuck me, man. Like, there's still like half an hour to go, 10 men. Like I said, Hibs were always definitely a good attacking team that year anyway. So I was sitting and I was just sitting on my phone and I was like, fuck me, man. Like, we can't drop points here. And I hear like a mini roar and see if Rangers score, you're in the changing room, you know it's Rangers. So it was a mini roll and I was like, fuck me, they've scored. So I've looked at my phone, 3-2, went back into the shower and then I've heard a big roll and oh, honestly, the biggest relief ever. But I went into that panel you were talking about a few days later and they just told me Bobby was embarrassing, basically. And I got out of
Sydney. Did the gaffer get you after for getting sent off?
Nah, I didn't, because I think he watched the replay and it's like I said, like, if Bobby's angle at the time, it probably did look like a red card, but aye, Fivey sold him a dream.
Well, like, go and talk us through it.
I much like that. So it's a massive game. It was in between Christmas and New Year, wasn't it? So the atmosphere was jumping. Honestly, a great game, good atmosphere. And then there was a tackle with Fivey. Andy jumps up and goes towards him. I'm directly behind it and I see a movement. And then you see Fivey falling down, holding, and I thought, he's done him. I mean, just you think you see this headbutt, this motion to headbutt. So I don't even think about it. I just go red, half. And Andy, to be fair, didn't complain that much. He just went half. And I thought, pretty much got that right. Game finishes, Rangers win, so there's no so much pressure on me coming off the park, and then you go in and you see your phone's red hot and you're like, oh no, you know right away if my phone's busy, there's something rang immediately, the video's there and you see it's rang. So it's disappointing, it's one of my most disappointing decisions because it's totally wrong, there's no contact, you know, that's something that VAR will clear up. There's no debate about it, it's just rang. VAR would kind of change that decision immediately. So aye, it was a bit sore to watch.
See before though, what we always talk about is like players with referees, you just want to be able to speak to a ref. And I remember you had the audacity to come back to Ibrox about 3-4 weeks later. But I remember you apologised for the decision in the tunnel. And then luckily, like I said, I got to Cindy and got sent half a week later for celebrating the midday part. So I don't know what they're talking about, their spare time, but for me,
we'll get one right.
See, when you said your phone was red hot, I thought you were meaning birds. So, like, you're always wanting refs to speak to you though, but he's one that after he does speak to you, you'd rather he never.
Aye. Well, of course.
What about Kev? Have you ever ref Kev?
Aye.
When did we? Aye.
I think the first time, probably, I remember. Refereeing was at Rangers up at Montrose.
Oh, fuck God.
And it was on that park.
You've got some memory. He
definitely needs a
year
now.
Remember, we went to check the kit before the game. So we went to check the kit and there was a massive Rangers flag up in the wall. I went, that's something. And we, Jimmy Bell, went, no, it's Kev's tap.
See, when you go to check the kit, you just don't see if I can get my shorts off at the end of the game.
That was up there, but you know what that part was like for the week? It was like, they mate, that part, wasn't it? It was terrible, man. It was terrible.
Had a few shockers on them.
It's a great journey, isn't it?
Oh, oh, tell us about Lee Wallace. What Lee Wallace says to refs.
Oh, Waldo is brilliant, man. Like, as soon as he wore that captain's armband, he just turned so diplomatic. It was unbelievable. So anytime the ref would get a bad decision, he'd try to be so nice about it. Just to say to him, I hope you've recorded this game because I want you to go back and study it and analyse your own performance. And you can just tell all the boys who just look up, what the fuck are you talking about? Just tell me shite. Yeah,
right, Kev. Fixtures at least today. Celtic start off at Hamilton at home and then Killy away, St Mirren away, Aberdeen at home, Dundee United away. Do you see that as a tough start or an absolute skush?
Well, that looks like the league's over by Christmas, si. No, to be fair, that's probably as good as a start as you possibly can get. obviously the home game because of the unveiling of the championship trophy. So that'll be the game against Hamilton. I kind of see Hamilton doing it at Parkhead. I don't know when the last time they actually had a result at Parkhead. The Kilmarnock game might be a tricky one because Kilmarnock tend to do all right against the Old Firm. In recent years, that would be a fixture that would be a pushover, but Kilmarnock have picked up their game. And then going forward, St Mirren, Aberdeen at home. But by then, have they got 9 points on the board, they'll be confident to play in Aberdeen at Parkhead. So it's a good start for Celtic. And I don't know, it's just, it feels strange, Si, because of the fact that there's not going to be any fans, and it's like one team's pushing for a record, one team's trying to stop a record, and it seems as though it's a wee bit surreal because it's no, the fans aren't involved in how that outcome might play out. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Whether it be away fans giving players stick and things like that. It feels a wee bit feels a bit weird, but time's only going to tell how it pans out. But Celtic's obviously, they'll be happy with that round of fixtures to start with.
Do you look at the fixtures, Billy?
I think, same as Brooklyn said, look, players and fans, we look forward to the big games.
Can I say something? I noticed when you said players there, you only look at fucking Andy. What am I?
Ah, the League 2 wins are not yet. League 2's not been done.
League 1, mate, Benny.
Do you drop your standard to play to referee League 2?
No, you're going, I know you're going.
Do you drop doing some test to help the joys out?
We will drop doing, like, into Championship.
A push. A big push.
No, we did. I think the last time I was in League One, though, was after a shocker performance in 2013. I went to Arbroath and Albion Rovers. That was the last time I was in League One. I remember I walked in.
That's a right punishment, by
I had a shocker the week before at St Mirren Celtic, my worst game ever. And I turned up and I walk into the changing room and I remember one of the Rovers coaches said, "Well, but no, often you're doing here, what you're doing here." And I went, "Did you see last week?" And they went, "No, I know what happened last week. Oh, I had a shock." Okay, of course, I seen last week the whole fucking dress was up in the air. I thought I'd get away with it. Somebody in Scotland hadn't seen it, but...
You get made a laugh at that at your level, don't you?
And there is probably more interaction, isn't there, with the players. But I think a lot of the players in the Premier League are under so much pressure to perform. When you see once you go down, the guys are a wee bit more relaxed, I think.
Yeah. See when, like when you're in the first team and you get dropped and the manager gives you that shit excuse, just give you a wee rest this week. Does the SFA say to you, "Look, Bobby, we're just going to give you a wee rest this week," and just I think when you get dropped down?
So what happens? So we get basically a 5 or 6 week ballot. So people think Madden dropped, but we're not always guaranteed, because there's 15 or 16 guys who referee in the Premier League. So we only referee in the Premier League half of the games, probably 20 games a season. So the other games were fourth official, were into the Championship. But it is frustrating when there's eight big games. We get the appointment the Tuesday via text, so you're waiting, you're refreshing your email, and you're thinking, waiting for the big game, and there's a big game on, and then you get appointed into the Championship. It is a wee bit sear.
I should get dropped from big games, I know.
Right, Andy, Rangers opening game away at Aberdeen. I think it's a 5:30 kickoff. What time will you leave the house for that one?
Probably an early start. It's probably going to be a Sunday morning. So
no, but it's not the fixture you want for your opening game, is it?
It's a tough fixture, aye. But listen, you play, see, in the SPL, you play each other 12 times each anyway, so I don't think it matters who you start with. But no, listen, I think it's important to get off to a good start this season. It's not the most ideal opening fixture, but I remember we played Aberdeen 2 years ago and under Gerrard, it was the first game. And I think it's probably one of the most convincing performances we've had at Pittodrie and Drew. So that's how difficult, you know, it is, because, you know, the majority of the team are going to be playing at your best. And I think under Gerrard, I think we've only won once there in the league at Pittodrie. So it's definitely a difficult start, but listen, you've got to play everybody. So it's one I'm going to start with a win.
Just talking to Rangers, what was it you said at the dinner ladies used to do at Murray Park when Kev's name was mentioned?
Oh, just get the shock of our life. Just knew, they knew how busy they were going to be. So
I brought the kids in and everyone, just they all get fed.
Bobby, first Celtic and Rangers game later than usual, 17th of October. Is this the best chance to get the fans back in? Is that why they're delaying it?
Have we done that? I don't know. I mean, I think they pushed it back, but who's to guarantee that we'll even have fans back in October? And it will only be full stadiums for sure, but I'm sure there's discussions about how many fans can they let back in? Can they do it in a phased return? Everybody wants fans back in. Players, referees, because it's better. I've only had one experience where I've had a game behind closed doors, and it's no great. It was in Moscow against Bayern Munich, and the game, it does feel a wee bit flat, so get the fans back in as quick as we can. I think pushing that to there, whether it's deliberate, I think that game without fans would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, see, to a meter rule, you need to apply that, because I know you like a lot of contact.
I think if you talk about social distancing in the park, I'm always going in that centre circle, and you know that, try to keep it your road. So I might need to move a wee bit more to combat that.
Kev, Celtic Rangers, Can you play without any fans?
See, to be honest, si, it doesn't matter well as any fan. It'll matter if the fans are in the stadium or not, but you've got to remember how sold out Rangers games are played outside the country anyway. Everybody heads to the bars, everybody heads to the pubs, mates, hussies, so social distance that day will get the windy regardless whether they're in the stadium or no, because it's just the nature of the fixture. And it'll be a... I know there's been games where there's only been one set of fans in an Old Firm, but I don't think there's ever been an instance where there's been no fans in an Old Firm game. So it'll be a new experience and one that nobody can get an opinion on because nobody's experienced it, si.
Yeah. I always wanted to ask you this. First of all, Twerham game, where are you going to watch it? You going to go?
If they let me in, but see, I'm similar to them. I can't see fans being allowed back in stadiums in October anyway.
No,
so I don't think it's going to make a massive difference. But it's going to be a weird occasion, man, because obviously it's Scottish football's biggest spectacle by far, and you know, the fact that it's going to be under no fans, it's going to be a weird one. But you might see some sectarian shouts by the players on the pitch.
You think Sky Sports are storing through the sectarian songs of their sides?
They should make up every single player.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Never mind the fake crowd noises.
See, on that, Bob, you're one that gets abused for the fans, didn't you?
Aye.
Will you be looking forward to playing it when they abuse?
No, I enjoy the interaction. Even in the warm-up, I'm getting pelters off folk. I love it. Honestly, I love it. Even during the game, if they're singing a song about you, or you hear the odd comment. I honestly, that helps me keep concentrated, keep focused. I really enjoy the fans being there. It'll be disappointing. It will be disappointing. You're talking about that game, Aberdeen Rangers to kick off is a massive game. But getting up there without any fans, it puts a different perspective on it. You know, it'll be interesting how that plays out. But like you say, it's that kind of chat, as you know, in these games between the players. You'll hear everything. So I don't know if even the intention is to play that crowd noise through, because I see that a lot of the leagues are doing that, or will they just leave it with any noise? I don't know. It'll be interesting.
What about the whistle? Where's that?
In the house.
Why?
I'm tender out here. I'm bringing my head, no, my whistle.
Brilliant. I've got some good news, lads. I've got a special offer for you and our listeners at home from the language learning platform Babbel.
Did the English?
Forget that. Bobby, when you've gone over to do Champions League games, have you ever had to speak to players in their own language?
Yes, and one thing I've done through lockdown is try and learn a bit of Spanish.
Who's it been in?
De noche todos los gatos son pardos. Quisiera reservar un habitat en doble con baño para una persona, por favor.
Oh my god, what does that mean?
The first one's actually it's a dodgy chat line and still of a night, like cats were all the same. The second one's kind of a room for one night with a bath for two people.
I'm just going to say,
is that for you, Molly?
The bath got a wee man in, gave a wee rough, you know. Off to bed, son, that's it.
Andy, when you were at Azerbaijan, would you have liked to communicate with some of the other boys who couldn't speak English?
No, and I think they had no interest in talking to me either. But not really many people spoke English there. There's definitely no Scottish either, so it was hard with the language barrier. We actually had two Dutch boys, and their English was unbelievable. And that was the only ones that I ever really kept in contact with over there, because they spoke the language, but it was hard.
But does everyone that's Dutch know speak English?
Perfectly.
I think it's something they do in the schools.
The majority I've spoke to, and their English is generally better than ours.
Well, if anyone wants to learn, Babbel's the place. Picking up a new language with a simple and easy way to learn up to 14 different languages, including French, Spanish, German and Italian. Right now, Babbel is offering our listeners 6 months free with a purchase of a 6 month subscription with promo code GOAL. Go to babbel.co.uk/play and use promo code GOAL on your 6 month subscription. That's babbel.co.uk/play. Promo code GOAL. Right, big news as well is going to come in today. Mickey Mellon is set to be appointed under United manager. Bobby, since you've got a headlight one, we'll ask you first. Mellon, good appointment.
I would rather have the Scottish managers in, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you built up a relationship.
You know
he's
Scottish, eh?
Well, I don't.
Yes.
You've had me that because I googled it last night.
I've done the same.
So, somebody's been up here, probably somebody that I know. How long has he been doing south?
He's been doing it a few years.
So I don't really know him, but there's a lot of decent Scottish managers.
So who would you like to see? Have you got like a manager that you'd like to see in a job?
Probably Tommy Wright, isn't it? Tommy's a great guy. But then everybody talks about the style of football and they just get results. St. John's, you said you hate going up there. Nobody like going there to play. But Tommy's a good guy. I would like to. I'm surprised he never got a Northern Ireland job. There's other folk that are probably out there waiting for jobs. Hughes, yeah, Yogi was on, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Whether he comes back in, even Jim Mack. There's other guys out there, isn't there? So, but I suppose clubs want to bring in somebody new, try something different. So,
see, on the style of play, do you notice? Do you see it yourself during the game? Like, they're hopeless, man.
Aye.
Said that a couple of times.
When you go up to St John's, you spoke about it, you're getting a tough game. I had a cup tie up there last year. Celtic went, the park was horrendous, the weather was awful. St John's were set up the way they set up, sitting deep, no pressing to the kind of final third, so it was difficult games. You're aware of the tactics. Referees are more aware of tactics now than they were probably 5-10.
The weather's always brutal in Perth, I've never been there and it's no windy.
It's a terrible picture as well.
You say the other side with the no fans thing, they'll be fine with that because they don't play in front of fans anyways at Johnson. So
we need to stop, we need to lay off St Johnson. I get slaughtered for the fans on Twitter.
I have been getting a bit tear in the private messages.
Good appointment for St Johnson, we've not spoken about that. I think it is Callum Davidson. Meant to be a top coach.
Callum, he was the assistant, wasn't he, last year under Tommy, so he knows
2 years ago then he went down south with Gary Rowett.
That's right, so he knows the club, he played with him, and by all accounts, I don't know him personally, but I know him and he's a cracking guy. So if you can get the respect of the player straight away, then they'll hopefully play for you. Knows the club inside out. And for me, it was an obvious choice. Whereas Dundee United isn't an obvious choice. It's like this guy must have come up and interviewed unbelievable.
I think they went and got him.
What was he doing down south?
I've heard good things about Mickey Mellon.
So I'm not going to judge him because I don't know his past or his history, but I wish him all the best and we'll see how Dundee United pan out this season.
After last week, I'll just leave Dundee United questions.
No, I've actually
right, come on, engage a bit then.
Mickey Mellon, 3 promotions the last 5 years. Tranmere, Shrewsbury. But I've not got a fucking clue who he is.
He knows he's Scottish.
He's Scottish.
Brilliant. Right, Andy, your mate Kyle Lafferty was our guest yesterday on the podcast. What a boy, eh?
Aye, crackpot. He's he's somebody that you just full of carry on all the time. You're always going to get a laugh on him. And see, but what sums up Kyle Lafferty was his first game when he came back for Rangers was 2 hours late for his first game. Motherwell away, he was starting and all. And it's no, one of the worst things was I was fine master at Rangers, so I used to have to collect fines for the players and see try to get money off of him. Honestly, it was a disaster. But I think there was something to Davies wee lassie that I think he made an excuse out, to be honest. Turned up 2 hours late, 2:15, he turned up to Fir Park against Motherwell when he scored 2. So
what a boy. Can you imagine an action with him, Bobby?
Aye, again, he's decent to deal with on the park. I seen him in lockdown, he was doing a few kind of shooting drills.
Tell us about your shooting drills, come on.
So we're doing EKYM's home pitches. So there was a few guys down there. Robbie McCrory was there and they were kind of doing shooting drills. First two, top bin, another great finish. And I thought, well, that's different class watching it. Then after that, main road, railway. I said to him, well, I've never lose it, laugh. Did you watch after the first two? I went, I did. But I think he's obviously trying to get his eye in, isn't he? So... Uh-huh. Well, he'll find a club, won't he? Because he's obviously got ability.
Nah, Kev, Hart's got to take him there.
I think that would be a good choice for both clubs because I think he done well there the first time round, then got a move back to Rangers, which being a Rangers fan, you kind of note that. So going back there, Hearts are probably going to need a striker. So it would be down to finance probably, Si, and whether he wants to drop down to play in the Championship, but he must be a fair age because I remember playing against Kyle Lafferty in the English Championship when he played with Burnley. Mm. And I'm thinking, how old is Kyle Lafferty?
Well, 15 in the head, but I don't know what his actual age is.
So for me, he's been around forever. So he must be at that point in his life where he should be able to go and play with maybe Hearts again in the Championship and try and get them back up and then try and maybe see his career with Hearts. I think that would be a good move. It'll save him moving and uprooting the family and things like that. But like you say, he's interviewing stuff and the person that he is, and everybody talks about him. Fuck knows what's going on in his head, so let's no guess at it, because only he'll know.
Brilliant. Do you remember the incident, him and Big Charlie Mulgrew? Who was doing the game, do you know?
Stuart Dougal. So I think the assistant's right behind it, something looking right through the back of it. And again, see, it's all right watching it in a replay, and you see there's naked, but see it in the game, everything going on, you might even just see it at the corner of your eye. If somebody makes a motion, and then somebody's going to hold their face... It's easy to trick you.
Do you know Luke on say like Charlie Mulgrew never been in a fight in his life? There's
no mark on him, no. Aye, but I think he'd have been. Again, at the time, that was a massive game, wasn't it? And there was a lot of kind of talk about it. So again, I'm sure the referee would have been disappointed.
See there, Bobby, when obviously something like that happens, surely when the team that's been found, it was Rangers and Aberdeen, wasn't it?
Yep, yeah.
So surely the Rangers players have seen that he hasn't touched him.
Yep.
And the Aberdeen players aren't they going, oh, he headbutted him, like, because they know.
Yep.
Is it no better just to no rush in and just kind of take a wee step back for a few minutes and think,
I think that's right.
Get the vibe.
No, and you're...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And you're right, you want to call what you see, but if you talk about that time I put Andy off, if I'd taken a wee breath, I might have been able to just suss for wee five with it, there was no contact. So I think you're right, don't jump in. I talk about that now, that's one of the kind of things I'll say to young referees, don't jump in, just take a breath. And
we're still talking about football here, huh? See, with the five, you think there was it also a wee bit as well that five, he was ginger and you thought he was picking on that ginger.
He's picking on you on all the day, it's not right. But we fight in fair play to wee five. The next time I seen him, he came up and apologised to me. So he said, well, I'm sorry.
Never apologise.
Do you get fair play? No. Do you apologise? Do you now?
He said, I'm really sorry, Andy's a dick, but
see, on like that, have you ever spoke to five years
before? No, see, to be fair, I've been doing my B licence coaching course this year.
And, he's a drill, then, come on.
Get up on air. I've spoke to him about it, but I've always got along with him well, and I don't want to sound too diplomatic, but I know that's not what he's like. He's probably a bit embarrassed to say that he'd done it. But I was going to say to you, I remember the laugh at the one was like, it's like 6 yards in front of the linesman, wasn't it?
He was directly behind it, so you guarantee he's looking through the back and he just sees that.
Do you ever get frustrated though that you can't, like, it will always go into the referees, even if a linesman was that close to it?
I guarantee the assistant's probably called that, but it's the ref that gets it. It's your name that's appointed to the game. Very rarely are they going to pick up an assistant referee's name or a little helper, as I call them. They'll know when they get a dig. We're going to
look at the criticism. See if they have missed something and you get the flag for it, would you give them a phone or a text saying?
No, I think there is open communication between us, you know.
What, is it like group chats or it?
Aye, there is, aye.
Is there?
There's generally
any good videos?
Aye. I'll show you later.
It's a standard group chat, isn't it?
Aye, but I think there's a group chat set up for each match, so you've got communication with everybody to make sure everything's kind of set up. And then after the game, there's any kind of clips to share or discussion points, and you'll kind of share that. But there's wider group chats where you're ripping into folk.
See, on the headbutting, have you ever? What's the worst thing you've seen on a football pitch? Have you ever actually seen somebody getting properly butted? Junior on it?
The juniors, a couple of headbutts, but I remember there was a game I'd done doing Girvan and back. There was a wee boy who'd a blonde mullet streaks through it.
Slaney?
It's not like Slaney. His face wasn't as red. So this wee boy's doing all the step overs and all that. And I'm no joking, this boy just plants him. Absolutely plants him. And obviously straight red, no debate. The wee boy with the hair's line sparkled. I mean, it's shocking, you know. But the juniors done a lot to tidy up their game. But see now in senior football, the behaviours get much better, isn't it? Because everyone's there with these kind of panels and compliance officers and stuff. But hopefully the introduction of VAR will help that and all.
Have you ever felt it with anybody on the pitch? Like, see, you've maybe had a ding-dong and then off the pitches have felt it?
Do you know what? I've just
Big McGuffey, isn't it? He's after you, Big McGuffey.
I know, but that was similar to Andy's when he's talking about getting sent off when you're in the dressing room. I remember being on the bench that night for Rangers and I don't even know why I dislike McGuffey. I don't even know if I dislike McGuffey. I just thought, he's a fucking tadger. So I thought, when I get on here, if I get an opportunity, he's getting one. So we got a throw in. And he threw it down the line. At the time, I think we were winning. I thought, oh, fuck it, he's behind me. I just went, man, I swear to God, man, I fucking wiped him out, and he went down, and I got straight red, went half, and then in the tunnel, they scored, and I thought, oh, fucking hell. And then I says, look, the gaffer came, what the fuck happened? I says, gaffer, it was just, I says, just raised, lift my arms up. Pulled him into the office next day, came, I've watched that about five times, I can't defend that. I says, what were you doing? And then just kind of, but getting to the first question, roughly, the guy, Evett, that just got the Bolton job.
Ian Evett?
I used to play against him, obviously, he was a centre-half-arse. And I fucking hated him. I don't know what it was. He thought he was tough. I thought I was tough.
That'd have been some elbow back. Oh, he's a big boy or not.
What about you?
I see, to be honest, I think there's only really one that stands out to mind, because I think nowadays everybody's sort of on better behaviour and can probably don't get away with what people could back in the day. But I remember when we played, when I was at Bradford, we played Millwall, and it was a game to see who played Chelsea. And see, to be fair, Millwall had some big boys at the back, and we had James Hansen. You know what James Hansen? James Hansen, if anybody knows him, he worked in Marks and Spencer's till he was about 26.
So he did?
He generally worked in Marks and Spencer's till he was 26, and he was at about 7 foot, just an animal in there. And
great,
he just
great touch.
A tremendous touch. It was that man you done see when you got sent.
All right.
Jumped in, shut his eyes. Ah, yeah. And basically, it was just a typical Bradford ball, just a big channel down the line. And it was Hans, and their big centre, I think it was a boy, Mark Beavers, going for a 50-50. You can see it on YouTube. And he's absolutely wiped Hansen over the advertising boards. But there's a brick wall that's about a yard away from the advertising boards, and he's literally sent Hans 3 rows up. Which, to be honest, he should have been sitting there the full game anyway. It ended up just a 21-man ruckus. I think Phil Parkinson gets sent off, Steve Parton gets sent off, the boy Beavers gets sent off. I think it was about 8 bookings. You'll probably find that one on YouTube. I think that's about the biggest rammy I've seen. But other than that,
there's one team you didn't want to get a rammy with. It's Millwall, isn't it?
Oh, especially with our fans, that's for sure. But they were a gang. We beat them 4-0, so get it on them.
Right, a bit of transfer speculation. Your mate, Big Sadiq's going to Man United.
I can't believe that.
What are we talking like? Are we talking like James Hansen touch?
No, worse. Nah. Just see, generally, right. I've played with players though that are shite in training though, and they're good in games, and he didn't get an opportunity to show it in games, but
he did that semi-final. He did. He just offside for the full game.
That went brilliant. So, but if you're the manager and somebody trains the way he trains, you're never going to play him.
What,
so
just bothered like.
I see what I used to find about him all the time was he just wanted an hour every time he got the ball. It's even if you were doing a finishing drill where it was unopposed, he'd take a touch, then another touch, and then it'd be like a fake shot, and then he'd shoot, and just everything was so unrealistic. So one thing I will say about him is he's got raw talents where he is quick and he's got that range of stride. So another thing that's probably difficult for him is see if you're playing for Rangers and you're playing against a deep block or something like that, and he's getting no space in behind, you're not going to get.
There's a B license chat, a deep block, love it.
You're not going to get the best out of him, but like I said, he's done well since he's left, but he never done enough at Rangers to warrant playing, that's for sure.
He can't go to Man United, Bobby, can he?
Where was he? Roma, wasn't he?
He was in Roma.
So they've seen something, haven't they? But the only time I think I refereed him was pre-season game against Wigan, and see any time MD touched him, he just stopped.
I remember that Wigan game, right? Honestly, I remember the Wigan game where he was chasing a ball down the line. I remember the full Rangers fans laughing at him running. I swear to God, just the way he ran, he was like arms, legs everywhere, and I remember Rangers fans running behind me. I don't know if that was at me putting the pass to the line.
He shouted at you and he bumped out his head.
Oh, brilliant. Kev Katic suffered a cruciate injury. Big blow to Rangers, aren't you? We're talking last week they need a settled back to this season.
We actually were talking about him being a
he's like a big boy, isn't he? You see him, he's tapping.
To get a cruciate, I've never experienced that in football, but that's obviously the worst, I think, in terms of injuries in football. So to receive that at the beginning of the season, that's a massive blow to the boy himself, but to Rangers, because now they're going to have to go out and replace him. I don't know. It's a blow because he's a right good big player. I can never understand these cruciates. There's no reason why they happen.
Aye.
And I don't think they'll ever understand how or why they happen. But years ago, it was a 9 month to a year job, and that would be your career was always in jeopardy. But now I think some physios get them back in 6 months. So hopefully, it's a 6 month job, and he gets back and sees some of the season out and gets his career going. But it's a big blow for player and club.
So you went to his top off. I thought it was Greg Stewart at first.
Oh my god, what a body that
guy's got. Has he still got a wee black bin belly?
Aye, see, to be fair though, I was actually talking about Greg Stewart before we started. Greg Stewart's one of the best trainers every day.
Mate, how good is he?
Aye, honestly, like, I couldn't speak highly enough of him. He's, in terms of finisher, he's probably second to JD, he's the best finisher at a football club. And it's just, there's days where he's just JD, technically very good in training, but...
Me and JD.
Aye, oh, JD. Oh, and JD.
He loves a Meg in that, mate, didn't he? Like, go shooting.
He's just silky, isn't he? He's a player that you can appreciate, and he's sort of like everybody's talking about. We were talking about Lyndon Dykes for the third choice striker, and
Greg
can play there, right? And to be honest, I think he's somebody that probably deserved more of a chance than he got last year.
Captain won 5-0, wouldn't the Rangers beat Aberdeen 5-0?
It was unbelievable. It was great. It was unbelievable.
I was refereeing it. And he was unplayable. He was, honestly, he was great.
Very good. But Katic, massive blow.
Aye, big time. It's something that we spoke about last week, I think. Rangers have obviously had a lot of games with the European runs that they went on the last 2 years, but I think there's always one position of the pitch you don't rotate, and it's centre halves. And I think we've probably done that a wee bit too much in the last 2 years. So I think this year, I'd like to see them have a more settled back two going into the season. And there's a good chance it would have been Nico next to Connor or obviously Big Phil, but it's a big letdown. And Nico's somebody that works so hard in the off season, so it's devastating for him. And he's a big set piece threat for Rangers, or not? I think he scored something like 6 or 7 goals last year, which I'd imagine was probably third or fourth top scorer, but it's a big miss.
Right, Bobby, goal line technology. Yep. One of the most discussed moments since the Premier League returned was Sheffield United Villa.
Aye.
How did they not spot it?
So goal line technology set up with cameras in the stadium that are fixed. They don't move. They're fixed on that goal. And essentially, there's a shield. And when the ball breaks that shield, it sets off a trigger on the referee's watch. But they're saying because of the way that the keeper held it, it didn't allow the cameras to identify that crossed the line. So they always say there's a chance that might happen, but it's unlikely. But what they're saying is the VAR has then got a goal line camera. So if he gets a clear sight that ball's on the line, he should be involved. So the VAR could become involved, or even if the assistant thinks, that looks sure, check it. So you've got until the ball goes out of play to tell the referee not to restart the game. Essentially, the VAR should have picked up. The technology's there, but technology's not 100% into it, no. So... when the GLT's broke down, the VAR should pick it up. But I mean, they're massive decisions. You're introducing all this technology, but people can't accept that things like that are missed. Mm. So it's no good when we're trying to bring in technology and folks say, well, there's an example, it's no worked. So, it was a massive, I mean, right away that happens. I've got about 5 different mess folks saying, I mean, how should happen here, you know, so.
Do you like VAR?
Aye, if it's used correctly. And what I would say is, it's used correctly in the Champions League, it's used correctly in some leagues don't use it correctly.
I hate it.
Do you? Why?
I hate it.
You can't get out of anything.
And I just feel it just slows the game down so much. And see, to be honest, I'm probably one that wanted it before he came in. But seeing the way it's panned out, there's been so many. Like, remember the Man City Tottenham game in the Champions League?
It took forever.
Aye. How long did that take? And that was a semi-final place of the Champions League at stake. And it took 5 minutes to come.
It needs to be clear and obvious. And it's in seeing the protocol, clear and obvious is listed about 20 times. It needs to be that everybody here agrees that that's a blatant mistake, like your headbutt. See if there's any debate at all. Move on.
An inch for an offside or something.
So see the VAR, Bobby, when a decision goes, is there one person makes that, or is there a group of people in this room?
So there's two. There's a VAR, there's an AVR, and there's an operator who's basically the guy who can find you the camera angles. And these guys are top draw. You know, top draw. They can pull the camera angle up. They can slow the clip down. They can show you everything that you need to see within seconds. So see, that's what frustrates me. I seen a player get a yellow card in a game, Tottenham Everton last year. I walked into my granddad's actually, and he was watching the game, and I seen the first replay, went, that's a red. But then by the time, it took another 2.5 minutes for them to tell the ref. So it shouldn't take that long. You need to just have a wee bit of conviction. If it's clear, get involved. If it's no, move on. That's right, because there should only be, the average in European games is one intervention in 3 games. So that's not a lot, but I think you're seeing in some leagues, there's 2 and 3 interventions in a game. And that's slowing it down, and that's what people don't want.
Have we got GLT, as you call it up here?
No, but we were talking about having it for the semi-final and final cup, because it's going to be introduced for the playoffs. Right. We're going to maybe bring it in for that. So that, I think we'll have that for games at Hampden after we have the playoff. But VAR will be, I think, pushed further down the line now, because you're talking about $1 million to set up, $1 million running costs. These are figures that I've only read in the media. Where's that money going to come from now?
Need to dock your wages, mate.
Tell you.
Doing it $1,000 a week.
Cutbacks. I said, I can't even afford wages now.
Does JD like GLT?
Just BLT. He's like,
right, Liverpool. What about their performance against Man City? We're getting Gary Neville, mate. He's a grass, isn't he? Kept going on about the boys drinking. So what, man? They've won the league. doing my nothing.
I know. But see, to be fair, there only one bad performance this season, do you know what I mean? But
see, if you've been on the see if you've been on the booze for a week, mate, the last team you want to play is Man City.
I know. But Man City can do that to anybody. And see, did, was Liverpool that? I think they were worse yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, were they that bad against Man City? Listen, Man City are on their day, they're probably, in my opinion, they're probably the best team in the world, and they can date anyone. But like you said, they've won the league, they're out a couple of days to celebrate. So
it's not even that. It's they've obviously been on the piss and they've enjoyed it, but the pressure's off. There's no demand to play that same level of intensity, and there's no fans in the crowd to please. It's done. So like I don't get what fucking people are moaning about, man. If I'd won the league like Liverpool done, you wouldn't have fucking seen me for 2-3 weeks. Not a chance. I'd have been like, Gaffer, I need 3 weeks off now to go and enjoy this. Don't phone me.
We won the league, mate, and we had one game left after it, and I got dragged after 30 minutes. You ever had that?
I said like semi-final.
I was a referee that day. Where?
I wish you fucking sent me after.
I sent one after that. Was that the one after 43 minutes?
Aye, it was.
What are you thinking when he's getting... Because, you know, say Bobby, just keep playing. Because get to half time,
send me after.
Decent. Roger was good that day, wasn't he? He was sat kind of getting plenty of the ball. And I remember seeing the board go up, went, fucking strange time for a sub. I thought somebody must be injured, then I just seen you getting hooked. I went, fuck.
I can't remember.
See, when he's going mad on, see, when he's shouting in that, are you watching it or are you just concentrating on the game?
I'm kind of watching what else is going on. There's so much happening in the games, isn't there? Uh-huh. There's plenty going on. I think that game was 2 penalties and a red card and all, wasn't there? So there's plenty happening. But
you definitely the referee then.
see when you're coming after you and you obviously you've had your rant and that. Were you hearing your rant straight away? Did you think you were doing all right or did you just start?
No, I knew I wasn't playing well, but it was one of them where
it could have been anybody.
None of these were playing well. It could have been anyone came off, and I just if you're going to make a sub, wait fucking 2 minutes.
Did you get that? Did you get that 2 minute once you'd finish a rant thinking, fuck the Gaffer's going to
see? She generally right. I can't remember. I couldn't even tell you the score for that game. I blanked all that memory out. I've not got a fucking clue what happened.
How was your phone at half time?
Probably half.
In your toilet.
Probably half, I can't remember.
Brilliant. Kev, what about you? You ever played a game kind of half rough?
No, I just. The worst I ever did was one day in training, we liked a Tuesday club at Sunderland. So, because we're always half on a Wednesday. And even when we were in a Wednesday, we still went in a Tuesday club. And I remember. Get in the Wednesday and Mick McCarthy knew that we were out. He knew we were fucking drinking. And so he set us off in the laps, just laps, fucking laps after laps. It got to the point where I was like, oh, I'm actually going to be sick. And I'd never been sick in my life, even fucking with anything. So someone had the like hills that the pitches in down, so the hills. So I like running away and I like sneaked half of the hill. I was a bit sick for about 10 minutes. So by the time I come back up over the hill, the group would come back around and managed to sneak back on the end of the road. And noticed that I'd disappeared. I think that's the worst I've ever felt. But I've seen players turn up steaming.
There's people though that can actually train fine.
Jeff Whitley, I think he actually came out as being an alcoholic at one point. He would have played with Man City when he would come in train drunk, but he was fucking brilliant. Seeing he was sober, it was useless. He was fucking hopeless. But seeing he was drunk, he was brilliant.
Mate, the one I've done was we were top of the league and then DeCanio got sacked. It was a Thursday. So you see, because we'd been in it every day. So we were off that day, Thursday, so all the boys went golfing. Because he's been sacked, obviously you end up on the drink. So it gets to about 5 o'clock into Swindon, all the bars. And I'll never forget, mate, Thursday night, 2 o'clock in the morning, our fat wee winger Luke Rooney's standing with a pair of golf shoes on, singing karaoke at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday. All the Swindon fans are fucking going mental. Mate, it came a Saturday, I think we got beat like 5-0. Full team was out full day Thursday. Rough as any, unbelievable. Right, last wee bit on the Premier League relegation. Norwich are done. Bournemouth are done.
Aye.
Who's your third team?
It could be a toss up between 4 or 5, to be honest. But looking at Aston Villa's fixtures, I think it's going to be hard for them to get a run of wins that they need. But see, I don't think Norwich are the worst to watch, but they are the worst team. But I've actually watched them on occasions this year. But you think they're decent, they might get something. But they just can't score goals out with the boy Pookie. They just can't seem to get any goals. But if I had to hang my hat, I'd say Aston Villa for the third team to go down.
I agree. What are you about, Bobby?
It looks like Villa didn't. It's a shame because see when Scottish players go down south or manage, I kind of watch their performances and results to see how they're going on. So that could be two, wee John McGinn and then Kenny McLean and all. So you want to see the guys playing in the top division, don't you? So from that perspective, it's disappointing. You know, you want to see them play in the Premier League, but it doesn't look good for them. Doesn't look good at all.
Agree, Kev?
I agree with Villa. I think West Ham will scrape through again.
Moises looking well, isn't he?
Moises looking
great. Old strawberry blonde hair.
Aye. That's what happens. These gingers, they turn blonde. Get Gordon Strachan, Moisey. I don't know how that happens.
Good luck, Budge, like
that. Yeah?
Good luck, Budge.
But no, I think he's saying about John McGinn. I think John McGinn will be fine because he'll get a move. And after obviously interviewing Kenny, I knew then that Norwich were fucked. So, to be honest, it's I'm kind of glad Bournemouth are going, Si.
Bournemouth would be terrible, wouldn't
they? It's like, they played some nice football and they've got some very good players. And Eddie Howe, no doubt, will go into a bigger and better things.
See, I'd decide, why? How will he go into a bigger and better?
I just think he will, Si. I think what's happened is, when any relegate, they don't become bad managers because they're sitting second bottom or whatever. They become, players sometimes get in a rut in a relegation fight and it's very hard to get out. You end up trying too hard and like you think, you look around your dressing and you think, why are we in this position? But it's just it's a mindset thing. It's no due to ability. And Eddie Howe's no become a bad manager.
Signs bad, makes bad transfers, though.
I think Bournemouth should have got rid of him, or he should have moved and changed it. But because of the success that Bournemouth have had, they've stopped buying because of the so-called kind of success of staying in the league. But really, they should just have got rid of him and got somebody in to try and give the club a spark, because he clearly wasn't giving them a spark. And I just don't think a stadium, they got an 18,000 seater stadium or something. Mm-hmm. It's just Disney look right on TV when they're playing. I don't know.
Ryan Fraser get a big move, won't he?
He's out of contact, I don't know. And
did he not refuse to sign an extension?
That's what I was going to say. There has been reports that they've offered him a couple of contracts over the last year or so, and he's held out. But he's been quiet this year. He was unbelievable last year, but this year he's been quiet, hasn't he? Which is probably one of the reasons that they're doing there, because I think him and Callum Wilson are the two main men. They've probably not played the way they can this year.
I'm glad Bournemouth are going down.
Aye.
Horrible. Pompey.
I would love Burnley to go down, and they're 6th and 7th in the league every year. But I say it all the time.
Why? Just because they bash it?
I just don't like watching them, listen, they're so good at what they do, but I don't know how they just keep churning out results, because it's the old Kilmarnock, the SPL, like I said. See Kilmarnock, the SPL, they've been wearing masks for the last 18 months because they used to steal results every week, man.
See, the thing is, Kilmarnock, I was at Kilmarnock first company, Scottish football with Kilmarnock, like, I thought they were getting relegated. We managed to stay up, and then we stayed up on the last day of the season. And ever since then, they've stayed in. Like, they must have been the club that's been sitting third bottom forever.
Aye.
And one of these times, they're going to disappear at the Premier League and we'll never see Kilmarnock again. But Burnley, were they struggling at the beginning of the season? We're not talking about getting rid of Sean Dyche, and they've just went all the way
last year as well, when they had the European run, they were literally just outside the relegation zone for the majority.
Because they had all the early qualifiers, didn't they?
Aye.
And then they got after a bad start, but fair play to Sean Dyche, you know what I mean? But
imagine paying £40 a week to go and watch Burnley with them.
It's not happening.
To be alright when they had Gaza and Stan Tennant as manager. That was proper Burnley years. And I love playing Burnley, man.
And mate, is Sean Dyche going to ever shave that goatee, man?
It's his voice, man. Do you remember the old tune, the fat, the old woman that used to stick her eyes up there? Her neck.
I don't mind Sean Dyche, to be fair. I do like listening to him, but could he do better elsewhere, spend the money? But he's never actually had to spend any money, so you don't know what he's going to be like in the transfer market. But the English Premierships, who's the three teams coming up? West Brom, Leeds, and possibly
bigger teams.
Leeds will be good though.
Leeds, when people say how are Leeds a big club, Leeds are humongous. If you've ever played at Elland Road, which used to have done fucking great place to go and play,
probably the best supported club outside the top six in England, that's it.
That and Sunderland. I need to say Sunderland. Right.
What about, would you like to ref in the Premier League? Could that ever happen?
No, you'd need to probably start at the bottom and come back.
Oh, would you?
Aye, you couldn't get a transfer straight in there. No, kind of. Because the referees need to work through a pyramid system to get to the taps. You basically take the place after an English guy. So, but you'd love to do it, wouldn't you? Because even with the European games, I've been to pretty much every stadium I want to go to. But we can't referee English teams because of the passport. So we'll never get to go to these big stadiums. So that is frustrating. I would love to go and referee at some of these places.
What's the best stadium you've been to?
Probably San Siro. Everybody talks about the new camp or the Bernabeu or that, but San Siro's, I grew up with like kind of football Italia, didn't you? When you go there, it's great. I mean, it is great.
Do you drop the kids before the game?
What?
Do you drop the kids in the restroom? Lads, been tremendous. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Size.
Cheers, lads. Nice.
Come home to Old ultra-fast broadband and Sky's best ever Wi-Fi for our lowest ever price from just €30 a month. So you can now play games, stream music and download movies at ultra-fast speeds for less than ever before. To switch from just €30 a month for 12 months, search Sky 30. Availability subject to location, setup fees, terms and conditions apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
You know that feeling you get when you sense a team's winning streak is about to end? Or when you know the pundits are getting it all wrong? That feeling? That's me. I'm your hunch. I was there back in Istanbul when you just knew the comeback was on. I'm the guy that tells you when the odds don't look so odd. I'm your hunch. It's time to start listening.
Heed your hunch with Betway. Download the app to find out more about Betway's Bet Club. Full terms apply. 18+. Dunlewy.net. Bet the responsible way.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.